To be blessed by the word of God?
Yeah. Amen. Me too. Well, Lord, I pray right now that you give me your words. Let your words flow from me. Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I give way to you. Have your way in each and every one of our hearts and our minds, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. So this week, I read this article about a high school graduation ceremony that happened in Illinois about 10 years ago. It was an Illinois high school about 10 years ago, graduation ceremony. And there was something a little bit different that happened at this graduation ceremony. It was a small high school, only about 100 people, 100 students graduating in the graduating class. Well, they were told that they were not allowed to mention God of any sort in their speeches. They were not allowed to give any praise or any acknowledgement to a divine guidance, any divine guidance or deity. They were not allowed to do that. They were forbidden from doing that. So like, okay, all right. So they go through the ceremony. They go through everything's a normal graduation ceremony. And there's a bunch of speeches, as you know, the ceremonies. There's a speech after speech after speech. And then it comes to the final speech. And I don't remember if it is, but it usually is like the student body president or somebody who has the final speech that kind of pumps the students up to go on through life, ready to go charge life. And so the student walks up to the podium, stands up to the microphone, and just pauses for a moment. And it just goes silent. And all of a sudden it happened. All 98 students that were standing in that, they were sitting down in front of them. They go, "Achoo!" They all, 98 of them, sneezed at the same time. That student who's standing up there paused and he said one thing. "God bless you. Each and every one of you." And then he just walked off. God bless you, each and every one of you. They found a creative way to invoke the favor of God on their cohort. And I thought that was really cool. This morning, we're going to be talking a bit about blessing. Blessing. Because you are rich people in Christ. You are rich, rich, rich people in Christ. And I want to say this. That God sees you from a position of blessing. He sees you in a position of blessing. Because of our status with Christ, because we have been identified with Christ, because we have been united with Christ, we are eternally blessed. Eternally blessed by God. And when God sees you, he sees you in a position of blessing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says this, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I'm here to remind you this morning, I'm here to inform some of you this morning, that you have been blessed by God. And not just with a few things. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing that exists. You are rich people this morning. You are rich people this morning. To be blessed means to have the favor of God upon your life. So when we say God bless you, or when you say God bless you to someone, and I want to remove this from a sneezing context, okay? When you say God bless you to someone, what you're doing is you're actually praying God on their behalf. You're praying God on their behalf. You're saying, God, send favor to them. Impart your favor on this person. Josh, God bless you, man. God bless you. What I'm doing is I'm earnestly calling on God's favor for his life. I'm invoking the favor of God, and I'm calling it down. I'm saying, God, pour out your blessings upon my brother here. God bless you, man. God bless you. We're asking for the favor of God to come upon a person when we bless them. When you bless someone, you're invoking. You're pulling down the favor of God and you're calling earnestly for them. We're asking for the prosperity of God. We're asking for His goodness, His kindness, His mercy to come upon that person. I remember very clearly about 5 years ago, a group of us went up to the Apostolic Leaders Conference in Canada. And we arrive at the conference and we get out of the car and we're about to go into the first session. And it was in the evening and Jay was with me, Jay and Andy and Phil. And we get out and we start walking inside and we get stopped by two people. One of them was the pastor that we knew and the other guy I never knew. And he comes up to us and with everything inside of him, he looks with complete authenticity and sincerity. And he goes, "God bless you, man." And he just held onto my hand. "God bless you. It is so great to meet you. God bless you." And then there was Jay, and then there was Phil, and there was a whole bunch of people who did the same thing. "God bless you. Hey, God bless you, man. God bless you." And we're like, "Okay, great, cool, man, thanks." Come to find out, this was the speaker of the conference. He was the keynote speaker, and he even did an entire message on the power of blessing, of what happens, what takes place when you bless people. Because when you bless someone, you impart identity into them. And you call upon God's favor. It is a powerful, powerful thing to bless someone. So when Paul says here that you have been blessed by God with every spiritual blessing in heaven, he's saying that the favor of God has come upon you. The favor of the almighty, unlimited, all-powerful, all-knowing God has come upon your life. You are rich people this morning. You are rich people this morning. Simply because we belong to Him. Simply because we are His children. We are highly favored. We are highly favored. Christ's status before God, His righteousness before God, has now become our status. And so God now sees us as the righteousness of Christ. And so what happens is that the Bible says, it goes on to say that we become co-heirs with Christ. And there's an inheritance that is yours. An inheritance from God who owns everything in the entire universe. There's an inheritance for you. You are rich people this morning. You are extremely, extremely rich. Paul goes on to say in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, that because God is so rich in His mercy, He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him because we're united with Christ. You see, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we've been seated along with Christ in this high place of honor. We have simply been united with Christ. It's all over the Word of God. You have been united, bound to Christ because of what He did on the cross. He includes you in Himself and says, "These are my people. This is my church. This is my body. You guys." And you have been included in Christ. And so Christ's position before God, His status before God, has now been shared with you. It's amazing. And I say it's amazing because that's the only word I got left. Phenomenal. You see, before Christ, we are all cursed by death. We're all cursed because of the fall of man. Sin came into this world, and it cursed us all to death. The Bible says that we were dead in our sins. We were dead in our transgressions. And that we were children of wrath. Wow. It says that we were God's enemies. And that we were enslaved to Satan. But now. You are eternally blessed. Because of what Jesus did on the cross. So therefore, You're no longer dead in your sins. You've been made alive in Christ. God has shown you his mercy and has given you eternal life. No longer are you a child of wrath, but God says you are now his child. And you have been raised up with glory to Christ. No longer are you cursed. You are now blessed. Because Christ's victory over death won us so many benefits. We've been given the favor of God, the blessing of God. Church, you are eternally blessed. Eternally blessed. It's okay to see some smiles go up. That's all right. There they are. Yeah. This is why we don't have to worry. This is why we don't have to fret or worry about the troubles in life. Because in the eternal scheme of things, the grand scheme, God's big old scheme, you are held in his blessings. That's why nothing else matters. That's why the troubles of this life, God says, do not worry about them. They're only temporary. But you know what is eternal? My favor on your life. The blessings that I give to you, those are eternal. Those will never perish. Those will never fade. Those will last for eternity. And they're yours. God's favor rests upon you this morning. And nothing can ever take his favor from you. Nothing could ever take his favor from you. His goodness, his mercy, his kindness, eternal life has been granted to you. And you don't have to do a thing for it. It's a gift out of love. Man. Do you see how understanding your truth of who you are in Christ changes everything? It unlocks so much. It unlocks your potential in Christ. It unlocks your purpose. It unlocks destiny. And it's because we no longer have to see ourselves from the perspective that we see ourselves. That person that we see in the mirror. And the comments we make about that person that we see in the mirror. But the truth of the Word of God allows us to be free from those things. Because they're lies from the enemy. And so now we're free to see ourselves the way that God sees us. We're able to see ourselves from his perspective. And so now we can zoom out from our own personal self-centered perspectives where we only see us as we see us, you know? And we see us as how all our faults and all of our shortcomings and we cannot get past those things, you know? But now we're able to zoom out and see the grand scheme of things. That I am an eternal being that is eternally blessed by the eternal favor of an eternal God. And now I stand in eternity right now. You are standing in eternity right now. It changes everything when you understand that you are an eternal being and you're standing in eternity right now. And so therefore, God's eternal blessings are applied to you right now. Because you are standing in eternity right now. The moment Jesus comes into your life, step into an eternal life. A life that will not perish. A life that will not fade. I read an article about it. This other guy who somebody came up to him and he said, "Hey man, how you doing today? How are you today?" And the guy responds and he says, "Man, I am so burdened." And the guy responds back. He looks at him. He's like, "Yo, man, you sure? You sure you're burdened?" And his response was, "I am so burdened with the blessings of God that I cannot possibly begin to describe or give thanks for how much blessings have been burdened on my life. It's unreal." It changes everything, doesn't it? Your identity in Christ changes everything. No longer do we have to battle with ourselves in the perspective that we see ourselves, but we're free now. We are free to see ourselves and to live as God sees us. The favor of God rests upon you today. So these spiritual blessings that I was just talking about, these are unconditional. And now they're unconditional in one sense. They're unconditional for you. There was a condition for these spiritual blessings, And that condition was righteousness. Righteousness was the condition for these blessings to come upon God's creation. Jesus satisfied that condition. So when I say that these blessings are unconditional, they're unconditional to you. They're simply yours because you belong to Christ. So there's these blessings: salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, being a recipient of an inheritance, co-heirs with Christ. These are the ones that are unconditional. These are blessings of God's are yours simply because you belong to Him, simply because you're His children. But then you read through the Word of God, and we see that God isn't limited to just these blessings. He's not limited to these blessings, but God is always desiring to give you more of Himself. He is constantly, constantly, constantly wanting to give you more of Himself, to pour out more blessings upon your life. This is His nature as a father. You know, the joy that you get when you see your child open a gift that just lights up the world, that's how your Father sees you. You are His child, and He desires to constantly bestow His favor and His blessings on your life. There are blessings that God is waiting to pour out on you. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. He loves His children and He delights in it. You know, God is the most generous person you'll ever encounter. Nobody can outgive God. He is unlimited in His generosity. Unlimited. But there are blessings that God is so eager to give us, but they are dependent upon something. On us doing our part. They're dependent on us doing our part. And let me just read through them. These blessings are conditional on our actions. Have a listen here. Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." Psalm 145:19 says, "He grants the desires of those who fear Him." Psalm 81:10 says, "Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it with good things." To open your mouth wide means to expect good things from God. If you expect good things from God, He will fill it with good things. Psalm 112:1 says, "How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands." Their children will be successful everywhere, and an entire generation of godly people will be blessed. And the last one is James 1:12. It says, "God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation." Wow. All right, so here we see that we are to take delight in God to receive His blessings. We see that we are to experience the joy and the pleasure of just being with Him to receive these blessings. We see that we are to fear Him with this reverential awe. In all of His majesty, in all of His splendor, to fear Him. We see that we're to open our mouths wide, which again, it means to we are to expect good things to come from God, and He will fill those good things. We are to obey His commands, and we are to patiently endure testing and temptation. God may be withholding blessing if we don't do our part. Because remember, this love relationship that we have with our Creator is a reciprocating love relationship. It's give and take. It's give and take. It's give and take. It's give and take. There's constantly this love flow of reciprocating love that goes back and forth, back and forth. And so what I want to talk about just for a moment, so that we are all aware of these things, and so when you're aware of something, you can bring them to the Lord and you can surrender them to Him. But there's three things that I believe may limit God's blessings from your life. Three things that may limit God's blessings from your life. And the first one is this: unbelief. Unbelief. You may be limiting God's blessings from your life simply because of unbelief or doubt. And I said this with the first service. Please, I understand that we all get caught up in this cycle of unbelief at times. We all do. Because this is such a scandalous love story, it's almost impossible to be true, but that's why it takes faith to believe it. to be sure of something that you cannot see. And so I understand that we all battle with that with unbelief at times. It's a natural part of who we are. It's got to be the hardest thing about being a Christian. But understand this, that you may be limiting God's blessings from your life because of unbelief. You see, we believe little because we've only seen little. And then we see little, why? Because we believe little. Unbelief can trap you. So maybe you're here this morning and you don't feel as though God is able to bless you. Or maybe you're here this morning and you don't know that God wants to bless you. Or maybe you believe that you're unworthy of His blessing. Let me remind you that because of what Jesus did on the cross and that He includes you in Himself, He makes you worthy in God's eyes. Worthy of every blessing that He is willing to pour out. And He wants to pour out everything to you. I wonder how many miracles God is withholding from our lives because of unbelief. The second thing that may be limiting God's blessings from our lives is unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness to Him. In Matthew 25, Jesus teaches us about the parable of the talents. And if you remember in this story that Jesus is telling, the master of this place gives his servants talents, each according to their own ability. He gives them something. He puts something in their hands. And he says, hey, I got to go. I got to take off for a little while. And he left them there with these talents in their hands. And we see that two of the servants were faithful with what had been given to them. And they invested what they had been given. The third servant, he hid it. He hid it. He was afraid. And so he hid it. And so the moral of this story is that when you are faithful with what God has given you and what God has already blessed you with, He is going to give you an increase. There is going to be more blessing coming your way. So I want to encourage you to be faithful with what God has already given you. Take inventory of what God has blessed you with already, up until this point. And make sure that you have been wise with it and faithful with it. The issue is not about how much you're given by God. It's about what you do with what you're given. God wants to pour out His blessing on every person, but first He wants to see if He can trust us with what He's already given us. So that's the second thing. The third thing that may be limiting God's blessings from our life is disobedience. It's disobedience. This morning, disobedience may be limiting God's blessings in your life. You see, along with God's blessing comes a responsibility to live the way that He wants us to live. You cannot expect God to pour out His blessings on your life if you refuse to live the way He wants you to. You cannot expect God to pour out His blessings on your life if you're living in contradiction to His Word. This is what I know about God. This is what He's shown me. This is what I've experienced. And I know that so many of you in this room have experienced. When you honor God, He honors you. When you honor God, He honors you. In John 15:7, Jesus says something to us. He says this, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. It will be done for you. Well, right there, Jesus sets a condition, doesn't He? He sets a condition. And the condition is this. We must remain in Him. And we must remain, His words must remain in us. And you see, when we do this, something happens. Our will is then shaped to His will. What used to be the things that we want are no longer the things that we want. When we remain in Him and His words remain in us, our will is then shaped and changed. Our purposes become His purposes. Our desires now become His desires. And so when we ask for things, they're not things that we're asking for our own benefit. We're asking things that will benefit Him. So the condition to receiving what we ask for is walking in obedience to Him and to His Word. God has no favorites. He has no favorites. He simply chooses to show favor to all those who are obedient to Him. You are rich people this morning. You are rich, rich people this morning. And God wants to pour out every blessing that He has into your life because He loves you and you are His children. And He loves you and you are His children. I'm going to say, feel rich today. Walk through life, not with arrogance, not with a nose up in the air, but with a richness that you want to share with others. How do we respond to God's blessing on our life? Two things. And the first is bless others. How can you respond to the blessing that God has already given to you and poured out into your life? Bless somebody else with it. This is a common theme throughout the Word of God that we receive so that we can give. It's a common theme throughout the whole Word of God. We receive so that we can give. And a lot of times we think of blessings as gifts from God to be enjoyed for ourselves. But when God blesses us, His intention is for it to overflow to other people. When God blesses your life, His intention is so that it will overflow to bless somebody else. The Lord has blessed my family with a house. In a million years, never thought I would own a house. I don't own it. The bank owns it. You know that. But I never in a million years thought. And God blessed our family with this. And our perspective is that God did not give us this house so that we can cuddle up cozy every single night just to be with ourselves. I mean, we're going to do that. I mean, we're going to get cozy. You know. I'm not going to share that part with you all. Wow. But we understand that our house is a blessing from God to share with other people. To open it up to other people, to neighbors, to friends, the people we're ministering to family, to open up what God has given us to bless other people. So our house is not our house. It belongs to Him. And so our house is now to open it up completely and say, God, bless other people through what You have blessed us with. How do you respond to God's blessing in your life? Bless someone else. Go bless someone else. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:8, give as freely as you have yourself received. God's blessing should flow outward to those around us. It is His desire that the good things that He gives you and that He has blessed you with and His favor on your life is to be used and shown to other people. We are to give generously of our time, to give generously of our love, to give generously of our material possessions, to the same extent and to the same proportion that God has blessed us with. This is what we're called to do. And to take it a little further, we've received the blessing of forgiveness and mercy and kindness. How generously are you giving of those blessings? How generously are you giving of those blessings? How generously are you sharing with others forgiveness and mercy? It is a privilege to bless others, isn't it? It really is. So let us be a people who live with an open hand that allows God to put anything He wants in it. And then you hold on to it so loosely that when God says, okay, I want you to give it away, you don't have this tight grip and your fingers have to get peeled off of it. But God says, but you're holding it so loosely that God says, okay, now give it away. And you say, with pleasure. With pleasure, God. It would be an honor to share what You have given me. How do we respond to God's blessings? Bless others. And the last thing is give thanks. Worship team, could I have you guys come on up, please? Give thanks. You see, God desires not only for us to be thankful, but to give thanks. There's a big difference there. To be thankful is to be in a state of thanksgiving. To give thanks is an action. And you read throughout the Psalms, David says, give thanks. Give thanksgiving. Give thanksgiving. Give thanksgiving. It's a big difference from just being here at this place. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what God has given me. I'm thankful. That's another thing to say. God, thank you for all that you have given me. Thank you, God, for what you have given me. I don't deserve it, but God, I humbly come before you and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You see, because no longer are you under the curse of death. Today, you are blessed people with a rich inheritance. It comes from the throne to your life. You are rich, 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 rich this morning. Can I have the ushers come and start to distribute these elements, please? Thank you, guys. So we're going to give thanks this morning. Because you see, every blessing that God has poured out on your life would not be possible without the blood of Jesus Christ. Every blessing you have, every spiritual blessing that is yours for eternity, guys, eternity. Try to wrap your head around the blessings of God, the favor of God over your life for eternity. Try to wrap your head around that. But it all was made possible by the sacrifice of the perfect lamb for your life. And his blood paid the price so that we would never have to be cursed again, but that we can live in an eternal blessing as children of God. Eternally, eternally blessed. So we're just going to spend a moment as they hand out these emblems, and we're going to take them together.